بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى، وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا، لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لساقت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، we were discussing the beliefs that we have about the concept of prophethood. In the beginning of the lessons, we talked about the reasons why do we stand in need of prophets of God. And we mentioned three evidences in the beginning of the series of these lessons. To prove that we stand in need of the prophets of God. And after that, I started mentioning, after we are done with the fact that we stand in need of the prophets, then let us know what exactly do we believe in. What exactly are our beliefs about the prophets? So we find, I started mentioning certain points, the same beliefs that we have about our prophets in the form of points which I mentioned in the previous two lessons. Those are the mainstream beliefs that we have regarding the concept of prophethood. There are a few more points remaining only, and then we will continue with the next segment of the discussion of prophethood and nubuwwat, inshallah, which we will talk about the fact that how to prove the claim of prophethood of any prophet. How any person can prove the claim of the prophethood of any prophet. Because there may be people who are claiming falsely that they are the prophet, that they are the prophet of God. So in order for us to prove somebody is really a prophet of God, we need to have some concrete evidences and certain well-defined ways how to prove it. Before we get to that, like I said, a couple of points were remaining about the points that we believe in the about the concept of nubuwwat and prophethood. There are a few points remaining. Then we will go to that later discussion. The next point that we all believe in Islam is about the shafa'at, that all the prophets have the right of shafa'at, that is intercession. They have the right to favor us on the Day of Judgment for the sake of our sins be forgiven by God, and the right of intercession, how it's called, shafa'at. Shafa'at is a right which is given to all the prophets, especially to our beloved Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, who is the seal of the messengers of the most superior of all the prophets, although all the rest of the prophets also enjoy the right of shafa'at from Allah. No one can do the shafa'at and intercession. No one can favor us on the Day of Judgment for our sins unless he is given this authority by God, unless he enjoys the permission from God to do so. So all the prophets enjoy this permission. All the prophets enjoy this this level of favoring, especially our Holy Prophet. And in addition to the prophets, there are certain other categories of people who do enjoy this right of intercession and shafa'at from behalf of Allah. By God, with his permission, they will do the shafa'at. So it does not contradict any of our beliefs about the oneness of Allah or his omnipotence or his power or his absolute authority. Because if something he himself sanctions, if something he himself permits, to some of his beloved people, this is not contradictory to his to the concept of Tawheed in any way. Shafa'at is a right which is given to all the prophets by God himself. And also Shafa'at is a right which is given to the Shuhada, the martyrs. And Shafa'at is also given to Saliheen and Muttaqeen, the good doers and the pious people and the ulama and the scholars. Especially the right of Shafa'at rests with the prophets and the imams. Allah awarded them with that right. And above all, it's the right given to the Holy Prophet and our 12 imams. About the imams, inshallah, we will discuss in the concept of imamat that will come later, inshallah. But since we are discussing about the prophethood now, our Holy Prophet is the most superior messenger and the person who enjoys the right of shafa'at. Every single person, including the prophets of God, will stand in need of the shafa'at of Rasulullah, shafa'at of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. And we have hadith saying that مَا مِن نَبِيٍّ مُرْسَلْ وَلَا مَلَكٍ مُقَرَّبْ إِلَّا وَهُوَ مُحْتَاجٌ إِلَى شَفَاعَتِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. That's the مَضْمُونُ الْرِوَايَةِ. There is no prophet sent by God and no close angel of Allah except that they all stand in need of the shafa'at and intercession of Rasulullah, our Holy Prophet, on the Day of Judgment. Certainly the shafa'at and intercession that the Prophet will do for the angels or the prophets of other prophets of God is not about the sins, because the angels are ma'soom and infallible, and likewise all the rest of the prophets of God are ma'soom and infallible. They do not have no sins. But the shafa'at and intercession our Holy Prophet is going to do for them is related to elevation of their levels to further high levels in the paradise. So for getting further high levels in the paradise, even the prophets of God stand in need, even the angels stand in need of the shafa'at and intercession of the Holy Prophet. What to talk of people like us who are sinners? Certainly we need the shafa'at and intercession of the Holy Prophet. And this right, like I said, does not contradict the Tawheed concept, because this is something given by God himself with his own permission. Quran has clearly announced it. There is no reason whatsoever of a person who believes in Quran to deny, because in Surah Yunus, verse number 3, Allah has said clearly, مَا مِن شَفِيعٍ إِلَّا مِن بَعْدِ إِذْنِهِ. There is no shafi', there is no one who can do the shafa'at except after the izn and permission of God. So there will be some, of course, who after the izn and permission of God, will do the shafa'at. Without his izn, without his permission, none can do so. But with his permission, there will be some who would be doing it. And another verse of Holy Quran in Suratul, in Suratul Baqarah, verse number 254, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, which is just a segment of that verse, min qabla an ya'tiya yawmun la bay'un fihi wala khulla wala shafa'a. So in some of the verses of Holy Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like this one of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 254, where we find that the right of shafa'at has been denied, the verse talks about the fact that give away before the day arrives in which there is no success for any person. No one can purchase his success. There is no transaction on that day. Nobody can purchase. Nobody can buy. His success on that day. That's not the day for transaction. So give for the sake of Allah before the day arrives where there is no transaction, where you cannot purchase your success. So, and there will be no friendship on that day, and there will be no shafa'at on that day. This kind of verse, which is found actually, which is negating the right of shafa'at here, this verse actually is, what we understand is that this verse does not deny actually the shafa'at of the Prophet, of any of the Prophets. What we understand in the light of this verse is no one can do the shafa'at without the permission of God. So any shafa'at, any person who can think that, well, I will be able to do intercession and shafa'at on the Day of Judgment, he will be wrong because he doesn't have the permission to do so. So what when we combine this verse of Surah Al-Baqarah number 254 with the earlier verse which I recited from Surah Yunus, verse number 3, مَا مِنْ شَفِيعٍ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ إِذْنِ. There is no shafi' doing the intercession except after the izn and permission of God. And like another verse in the Holy Quran, it says, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. That is in Ayat al-Kursi, again in Surah Al-Baqarah. Who can do the shafa'at before Allah except with his permission? So in other words, so those verses which are clearly mentioning the right of shafa'at after the izn, and then this verse which of Surah Al-Baqarah 254 negates the concept of shafa'at, we need to combine these verses together and then come to a final decision. And the final decision will be like this: no one has the right to do the shafa'at except after the permission of God. Anyone who may think that I can also do the shafa'at and intercession for the sinners of this nation on the Day of Judgment will be wrong. Anyone who thinks that will be wrong, because not everybody has the permission of God to do so. Only those who have the permission have the right to do shafa'at. Shafa'at, what's the need of shafa'at? Why are we believing? Of course, Quran says it's clearly in the Holy Quran. So we believe in what Quran has said. We believe in the right of shafa'at. But what's the benefit? Why do we need a shafa'at? The benefit, we are all sinners. We do sins, and we have a lot of sins. We want our sins to be forgiven so that we can enter the paradise and avoid the punishment of the hellfire. And shafa'at, the right of shafa'at, is one of the best ways how we can attract, how Islam attracts the sinners and brings them back to the path, brings them back to the straight path, because the sinners will always remember that their sins can be forgiven. No need to be disappointed, no matter what stage they may reach in their sins. Even if they have a lot of sins, they can still be forgiven. So Because the mercy of Allah is limitless. And His mercy, Ya man sabakat rahmatuhu ghababahu. Oh, you whose rahmat and mercy has taken lead over His wrath. So His mercy is more than His wrath, has taken lead over His wrath. So Allah's mercy is limitless. So when Allah's mercy is limitless and taken lead over the wrath, over His wrath, we should never be disappointed. Getting disappointed from the mercy of Allah itself is another sin. And this is the arrangement of Allah, that He's always ready to bring the people back to the straight path, give them the hope, and give them the hope at any stage of their life, any stage of their sins, that there are people there to help you. There are Salihin and Muttaqeen and Shuhada and Ulama, and especially the Prophets and the Imams, and especially our beloved Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is always there to help the sinners. So this causes us to repent, causes us to get back to the track, causes us never to be disappointed. And it's also important to remember that Shafa'at and the right of intercession, which is given to the Prophets and others, like I mentioned, is not, without some principles and regulations. Everything has conditions and its own rules and regulations. It's not something which is without any rules and regulations. We need to have certain level of we need to fulfill certain criteria. We need to fulfill certain criteria to be eligible to receive the shafa'at and intercession of the Prophet or any other shafa'a, any other persons who will be doing shafa'at. So not everyone is eligible, which is the beauty of Islam, which actually forces all of us to focus on the fact that we should not go, we should not keep on doing sins over and over again and still keep on thinking that no matter what we do, we can still be forgiven. So it's not a license of doing sins. So Islam, that's the check and balance which Islam has provided. That's how Islam is balancing both the sides. On one hand, a disappointment is considered to be haram from the mercy of Allah. Nobody should be disappointed at any stage of his life. On the other hand, Islam says the right of shafa'at and intercession should not be taken as a license to do whatever you wish to do. There has to be a check and balance. There has to be a mediocre path tread by the people. So if there are some people who may think, well, since there is shafa, so we can do what we wish to do. No, that's wrong. Because it's not like this. There are certain rules and regulations and certain conditions. We need to be eligible. We need to have ahliyat and eligibility to receive the shafa'at and intercession from the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So there are sins. If we do, then there are levels. If a person reach, God forbid, in doing sins, that if he reach that level of sin, then he ceases to have any mercy done towards him. So let's not take it as a license. Let's not take shafa'at as a license to do whatever we wish to do in the sins. Our najasat and uncleanliness of the soul, impurity of the soul caused by the sins, that impurity of the soul should not take us to a level that the whole soul becomes dark. And if the whole soul, God forbid, becomes dark, because every sin that we do, the hadith says, there's a black dot that appears. Kharaja fi qalbihi nuktatun sawda. There's a black dot that appears in the soul. Fa in taba in mahat. If a person performs tawbah and he repents, the black dot on the soul is erased. Wa in zada zadat. And if he keeps on doing the sins, then that black dot expands. وَإِنْ زَادَ زَادَتْ حَتَّى تَغْلِبَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ, until the black dot expands over the whole soul. فَلَا يُفْلِحْ أَوْ فَلَنْ يُفْلِحْ أَبَدًا. So if the black dot expands, then the person can never get back to the track. So if the whole soul turns black, then is a person has a person reached the level of point of no return. He has become totally shaqi, and a shaqi al-qalb can never return back. It's we cannot translate, like we say, to stone-hearted. That's not the actually the precise translation, but yeah, apparently we do say stone-hearted. If a person becomes fully stone-hearted, but that's not the correct translation, because stone-hearted is not appropriate. Even stones are softer as compared to these people whose entire soul has turned black because of constant and consistent sins. So if the impurity and darkness of the soul reaches in its absolute to its absolute form, the whole soul turns black with the sins, a person is at the point of no return. There is no shafaat for him, and he does not deserve. So even shafaat has to meet certain criteria of eligibility. So there is a check and balance. So that's the concept of shafaat that we believe in. Very shortly, and the next point, which is also part of our belief system about prophethood, is tawassul. Tawassul means making the beloved people of God a wasita and wasila, a means to get our prayers answered, get our hajat and our wishes answered, our wishes fulfilled, our prayers answered. We believe in the concept of tawassul. We believe that the Prophet, all the Prophets of God, especially our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the 12 Imams who are his 12 deputies, they have the right to be a wasila. They are the best wasila and means to serve as a wasila and means or as middlemen between us and God, to make sure that our prayers are answered by Allah because of their mediation in the middle. So they mediate, and they, because of they, these people, these personalities have extraordinary high respect and dignity before Allah. So when they come in the middle, Allah, we do not have that sort of respect before God because we are sinners. But when these people come in the middle and they mediate, since they themselves have extraordinary high respect and dignity with Allah, they are the most honorable people and most obedient ones to God and most closest ones to God. So when they come in the middle, our prayers are answered because of their respect and dignity. So we certainly believe in this tawassul concept, which is also supported by the Holy Quran. Quran has said in Surah An-Nisa, in Surah An-Nisa, verse number 64, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. If those people who have done zulm, those people who have done sin, if after doing the sin and injustice to them, after doing sin and injustice, if those people who have done injustice towards themselves and done sins, they come to you. The verse is addressing, Allah is addressing the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people who have done injustice to themselves, those people who have done sins, if they come to you and seek forgiveness from Allah and the Prophet of God also seeks forgiveness for them. Look at the verse. It says those people who have done zulm towards themselves, towards their souls, they came to you. It doesn't say they came to Allah. Of course they are seeking forgiveness from God. Of course. But the verse says, Ja'uka. They came to you, addressing the Prophet. They came to you. And then it says, Fastaghfirullah.
and they came to you and seek forgiveness from God. And in addition to that, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ, the messenger also seeks forgiveness for them. Here is where we learn the concept of tawassul. So the messenger also seeks forgiveness for them. They are seeking forgiveness on their own towards Allah. But then the verse adds this segment, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ, the messenger also seeks forgiveness for them. لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا, they will certainly find Allah as, acceptor, accepting the tawbah and merciful. So Allah will accept the tawbah, and Allah, of course, will be found as merciful, which He is merciful, but because of the mediation of Rasulullah, the Prophet mediated for the case of seeking forgiveness from Allah. The person himself also seeks forgiveness from God, plus the Prophet of God also seeks forgiveness for him. And that is what tawassul, that is what wasila, that is what means is all about. We make him as a means for our prayers to be answered. There is another verse of Holy Quran which also proves the concept of tawassul and wasila.
The concept of tawassul and wasila can be proved from another verse as well. And that is the verse from Surah Yusuf, verse number 98. In Surah Yusuf, verse number 98, we find that the brothers of Prophet Yusuf came to Prophet Yaqub, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi salam. Brothers of Prophet Yusuf came to Prophet Yaqub, their father, and said to them, Ya Abana, istaghfir lana, inna kunna khata'een. O our father, seek forgiveness for us. Certainly, we were at fault. The brothers of Prophet Yusuf, Quran says, came to their father, Prophet Jacob, and they're asking Prophet Yaqub to seek forgiveness for them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet Yaqub is asked to seek forgiveness of Allah from Allah on behalf of the brothers. And the Prophet Yaqub, when he hears this statement, he's being asked by the brothers of Prophet Yusuf to, he's asked to mediate between them and Allah. So that's the concept of wasila and tawassul. Prophet Yaqub is now being made a middleman, a wasila, a means towards their prayers of forgiveness being answered by Allah. And in this case, we find Prophet Yaqub, who is a prophet of God, and he's infallible. He does not reject this offer. He does not reject this demand of his sons, who are the brothers of Prophet Yusuf. He did not reject. Instead, Prophet Yaqub replies, and that's mentioned in Surah Yusuf, verse number 98. The earlier was Surah Yusuf, verse number 97. And this one, which I'm reading now, is from Surah Yusuf, verse number 98. Here, Prophet Yaqub replies back and says, Sawfa astaghfiru lakum rabbi. I will seek forgiveness for you from my Lord. So Prophet Yaqub, being a prophet, did not reject their demand that don't make me as a middleman, don't make me as a wasila, don't make me as a means in the middle. Why don't you seek directly from God? He did not say that. Instead, the Quran itself mentions that Prophet Yaqub accepted that demand from his sons. And then Prophet Yaqub said, Surah Yusuf, verse number 98, Sawfa astaghfiru lakum rabbi, I will seek forgiveness for you from my Lord. So he accepted being a wasila. He accepted being a means to seek forgiveness for his children from Allah. So tawassul is something which Quran itself mentions that Prophet Yaqub accepted being a wasila. So it does not contradict the Islamic belief at all to make the beloved people of God as our wasila and means to seek our forgiveness and our prayers being answered by Allah. It's a Quranic concept. We must actually, Quran has also informed us, وَبْتَهُ إِلَيْهِ الْوَسِيلَ, seek wasila towards Allah. So towards him. So we need to seek wasila, we need to seek means towards Allah. We need to bring those personalities who are the beloved people of God, like the prophets and the imams in the middle. And that's how our prayers will be answered, inshaAllah. So this this verse of Holy Quran from Surah Yusuf also proves the fact that tawassul and wasila and making some beloved people of God as a means to answer our prayers was also found in the previous nations. With this verse we can also understand that it is found in the previous nation. So tawassul and making the beloved people of God as our means for answering our prayers is not just something found in our nation but even in the previous nation. So having said all that, we must also remember that the awliya of Allah, the beloved people of God, are the servants of God. We are not supposed to consider any prophet or any deputy of the prophet or any imam to be, more than what they themselves claimed for themselves. We should not believe about any prophet or any deputy of the prophet or any imam. We should not believe something which they themselves never claimed for themselves. We should not say anything about them which they never said about themselves. We should not believe about them things which they never asked us to believe. These are things which we need to remember so that everything is within the limits of Quran and the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. And also, we are not supposed to consider the prophets or their deputies or the imams, having istiqlal and istiqlal in these things. Istiqlal means independent. They do not independence, so they are not independent in doing these things. They are the most beloved people of Allah. The prophets and the imams are the most beloved people. Especially our Holy Prophet and the 12 imams, the 12 deputies of our Holy Prophet, they are the most beloved people of God. They are the servants of Allah. They are most beloved because they are the most obedient servants of God. So they are not independent. All the great levels that they enjoy before Allah is because of their obedience to God, because they were the greatest servants of God. They are not independent from Allah. All their positions, all their powers, all their levels are not independent from God. It's God who has provided them those levels. So no one should consider these prophets or the deputies and the imams to be independent from God, and they on their own, by breaking away from Allah on their own, independently have those powers. That will be wrong if somebody believes that. Nobody can believe that the prophets and the imams independently by breaking away from Allah have those positions and powers. No. All the positions and powers and the high levels they enjoy because they are the greatest servants of God and the closest of God, and with the permission of God, Allah awarded them those powers and positions. If somebody considers that any prophet or imam has those high levels and they are independent by breaking away from Allah, they are independently capable of doing that. That will, of course, if somebody believes in that they can independently do things without the permission of God, that will take us to the limits of kufr. Also, tawassul should not end up in doing the ibadat and worship of these great personalities like the prophets and the imams. If anybody ends up in that case, in this kind of scenario, that is, of course, kufr. If somebody starts worshipping any of the prophets or any of the imams, that is also unacceptable, and that will be kufr. Because zatan, the zat, on their own, independently, without permission of Allah, by breaking away from Allah, they do not have no position. No one has nothing by breaking away from Allah. Whatever the great personalities or all the rest of the people, even whatever we have it from God, with the permission of God. They themselves, independently by breaking away from Allah, are not do not own any benefit, do not have the power of any of providing any benefit to anyone, do not have the power of harming anyone on their own independently by breaking away from God. They have all those powers and positions, they have all those great powers and positions because Allah has given them the izn and permission, and they are connected with the, they are linked with the absolute power of Allah. That's why they enjoy these high levels and positions and powers. So it's because it's with the permission of God. It's not independent. It's not by breaking away from God. It's with His permission. And that's why they, on their own, independently, by breaking away from God, are not, they do not have any right of benefiting or harming anyone. Quran has said, and that is in Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 188, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. Say, I do not own, I do not possess for myself any benefit, nor do I possess for myself any harm, except what Allah wishes. In other words, so we find that all the benefit and harm that that the Holy Prophet enjoys, he has the power of benefiting, and he has the power of harming someone. The power that he enjoys to benefit somebody and the power that he enjoys to harm someone is because of Allah's power, because Allah has given him this authority, because Allah has given him this permission. If somebody believes that the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, by breaking away from Allah, independently have the power to benefit someone, independently have the power to harm someone, by breaking away from Allah independently, that is un-Quranic, unfounded in Islam, and wrong and unacceptable, and will lead us to kufr. So ifrat and tafreet, increasing, extreme beliefs on any of the two sides, on the right or the left, those extreme beliefs are on both the sides are incorrect and unacceptable. You need to stay on the middle and mediocre path of Islam, which is the straight path, and not to go towards the, any extremes on the right or the left. And that is the straight path of guidance which Quran has informed. We do believe that that all the prophets of God and their deputies, especially our Holy Prophet and 12 Imams, have the right of tawassul. They are the best wasila, especially our Holy Prophet and 12 Imams, best wasila and means to get our prayers answered, because they are the closest, and that is supported by Quran. These were in the form of points. We mentioned the mainstream beliefs that we believe in about the concept of prophethood, and inshallah, in the next lesson, next Sunday, inshallah, we will start the next segment of our discussion, which will deal with the matter that there are two ways to prove the claim of prophethood. If we encounter a prophet who is claiming to be a prophet of God, how can we as humans understand that he is a prophet of God? There are two ways for us to understand that he is the Prophet of God and his claim is true and not a false claim. There are two ways which inshallah we will learn in the next lesson, and on the details regarding the ismat and infallibility of the prophets which will come after that. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll go ahead and ask a question. Agha, is intercession same as tawassul?
Intercession and shafa'at
is something which is related to the Day of Judgment. Whereas tawassul is something which is related to the life of this world. In the life of this world, we make the Prophet and the Prophets and the Imams to be a wasila and means in the life here in this world. We make them as a means for our prayers being answered and our sins being forgiven. So tawassul is something that refers to the life in this world. Whereas shafa'at and intercession is something which is related to the Day of Judgment.
If you would like to participate in these online lecture series, please visit www.al-asr.org. The website once again is www.